it's never a good thing when authorities enter your home and they're like, hey, who's the decomposing guy in the bed over there? That leads to some suspicion and questions, does it not?
Just a few.
An Arizona man has been arrested after authorities allegedly found his 9-year-old son's decomposing body on a couch in their home, according to multiple reports. Joseph Gregory Anotson, 38, was taken into custody following the grim discovery at the family's residence in the Picture Rocks area of Arizona on Sunday, July 14th. The Arizona Republic, AZ Family, and KVOA reported on the arrest, citing a police news release. Online jail records indicate that Aniston is being held on the bond of $500,000 and faces charges of child abuse and negligent homicide. It's not immediately clear if he has entered pleas to the charges or retained an attorney. The investigation began when authorities conducted a welfare check on the property and found Aniston's son's lifeless body on the couch. According to the news release, the boy's body was already in the process of decomposition. But what the fuck? Number one, how do you even survive in an environment like that? Let's just take the whole thing off the table of you just killed your son, likely, as horrible as that is. But let's just talk about sheer scent.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're going to sit down and watch, you know, Beavis and Butthead, which is out on Comedy Central, I might add, and no, they didn't pay me to say that. I just wanted to promote that.
Is there a new season? Important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Wednesday nights.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, do you just kind of shove him over? Because, like, hey, my show's on. I mean, where are you going
to
sit?
There ain't no amount of Febreze that's going to fix that shit.
No.
And you know what? And I like to use the candle melter thingies where you put the wax in it and it makes the house smell lovely. Ain't no amount of that's going to fix it either.
No.
So what the hell? How are you doing this?
You know, and let's just say that the kid died for whatever reason. Well, as we read further, you may find out I have a theory about what killed him. Okay. Might not have been dad.
Yeah.
But call 911. Get the paramedics over there. And people die. If you didn't kill your kid, it's really okay to call 911.
There's never,
you're not going to get arrested.
Never a reason to store bodies on couches.
Mm-mm.
No reason to do that. The Arizona Republic reported, citing the news release, that the home was in a state of severe neglect. What if you bought that protection plan on the couch? You know, you go to the couch, like, we're going to do the 3-year protection plan. It covers pretty much everything. I mean, if a cat destroyed it with nails, that wouldn't work. But any stains, any of this, we got you. Could you do that? Could you claim that? Like, well, my son is decomposing on the couch. Can I get new cushions?
You know, we've got that plan on our couch, and I've got a Siamese mixed cat that will not allow me to trim his nails. He has definitely destroyed the couch, and my husband just stares at me like, why did we even bother getting the protection? Because you're right, it doesn't cover the cat thing. I should go pull up the contract and see if it does. I mean, it does, like you said, talk about stains. Does it matter how the stain got there?
What if there's already scratches on the side, but there's stains all over it as well?
Well, yeah.
Just go get like a bottle of fucking like $2 Chuck and pour it all over the side of the couch and be like, it was stained. Hmm. It was stained, and then the cat did the damage.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. How to work the system. The Arizona Republic, referencing unspecified court documents, reported that Aniston allegedly told officers his son had been unwell 2 days prior. He claimed he intended to take the child to the doctor, but the boy started stuttering and going limp. According to the documents, when Aniston returned after turning on his car, he realized the boy was not breathing and did not have a pulse. Instead of calling for help, Aniston allegedly left the home for a period, leaving his son inside. The documents further allege that Aniston knew he should have sought immediate assistance but failed to do so. The police news release also described the deplorable conditions inside the home, which was filled with garbage such as empty beer cans, large piles of soiled diapers, rotten food, bottles full of what appears to be urine, lots of insect activity, and spiders, black widow and brown recluse, in parentheses.
Here's my theory. Can I share it?
Yeah.
So...
Black widow?
Is it the black widow? They can't necessarily bite. The females can if they feel like their nest is being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
I think the males, they can't open their mouths enough to actually bite. But I'm wondering if this kid got nailed by a spider and had some sort of anaphylactic reaction.
I do wonder that. Living in an environment like that, you're basically living in a jungle and shit can kill you. That is living in, quote, kind of like nature. I mean, fuck, the other, I don't know what it was, but Manny Craig, our digital producer who puts out all of our stuff that's online on our social media, he got bit by something the other day and sends me a text. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it's his leg. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? And he got bit by something.
Oh, God.
I haven't heard from him in 3 days. I wonder if he's okay.
You might want to reach out to him and just like, see if we need to replace him or something, you know? No,
we'll just kind of move on really quick. You know, it's like, those fucking spiders, dude. No, I've heard from him. We talked today. But it was like, holy shit. But he went in and got antibiotics after a few days because he just thought, you know, like nothing of it at first. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's, you know, it is spider season. It's bug season. You can kind of,
well, but guys are like that too, where they're like, ah, just a bite. Well, your leg is the size of, you know, two legs now.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's the size of a small child, it's time to seek help. I feel horrible because I haven't asked him about it in a few days.
Maybe you should.
I should do that.
Can I tell you a little story?
Yeah.
This just triggered something.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to text him while you're telling the story because I talked to him earlier, but I keep forgetting. I forgot about to ask about that. I feel like an asshole.
Well, yeah. Well, tell him you feel like an asshole. That might help.
How's the leg? I'm an asshole.
Yeah. But this part of the story where it says bottles full of what appears to be urine. So about 7-8 years ago, I was an EMT and firefighter.
Yeah.
Part-time, and we got a call just maybe 2 blocks from the fire station it was an ex-wife calling for her husband, ex-husband, saying, I haven't heard from him in a couple of days. He's bedridden. Can you go check on him? So we went kind of to just make sure he was doing okay. And she met us at the house and opened the door, and we opened the door. Smell overcomes us, and EMTs, paramedics, we use mentholatum under our nose to homes are not, you know, kept clean. And the smell just overcame us. It was like ammonia. It was worse than anything you could ever smell.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in. There were bottles, and I'm talking, it almost looked like it was set up as some sort of a course of some kind for you to navigate through. Bottles of urine.
And then Mark Summers came out and said, welcome to Family Urine Double Dare.
That's kind of what it felt like. We got back to the guy's bedroom. He is lying there. And again, there's more urine. I mean, you're like dodging them, you know, going left to right, zigzagging. We get to him. He is stuck to the mattress.
Oh, I have another. Continue. Yeah, it's sad that I have a connection story on this one, but continue.
Yeah. So this is probably the first time I'd been in a home of this nature, and he was bedridden. He couldn't get out of bed, so he had even more bottle. I don't know where he was getting the bottles. That's the part that baffled my mind. Where did all these come from if he couldn't move? If he couldn't, somebody must have been bringing him something to drink. So he was peeing in these bottles. And we had to pick him up on the mattress and take the mattress to the med. But in the meantime, we're navigating these bottles on our way out. It was the worst I mean, we spilled so many on the way out because we're carrying this man. There's four of us and we're carrying him out. And I'm a very small person. I'm under 5 feet. So I'm struggling and I'm, you know, leaping over these things while I'm holding this probably 200-pound man. And it was, I will never forget it. So when I, in this part of the story, when that was mentioned, I'm like, okay, there's something else going on here. When we got this guy to the hospital, we pretty much just brought him in on the mattress, handed him over to the ER, and he became their problem. And I just felt terrible about it.
What happened?
I never did hear what happened with him.
Wow. I mean, obviously,
just such
there's
a sad state.
Obviously, it's someone who is suffering from either a disability or mental illness or something that got them into that.
Yeah. But I think there's a lot of people in those situations. And I'm not saying like, you know, millions, but I think probably in every community, there are people who are in a very similar situation like this.
It's called urine hoarding or urine collection. In some cases, the behavior can be associated with certain psychological conditions, clearly, such as compulsive hoarding or obsessive compulsive disorder. And it can occur when individuals may have limited access to proper bathroom facilities or have specific medical reasons for collecting their urine. It was kind of a hoarder house, it sounded like.
Yes.
So they had some value. There was some thought in their mind that their urine was of some future value to them in some way, shape,
wow,
or form.
Yeah. Wow. What's your urine story?
Oh, it's not a urine story. It's being someone connected to something where you like, it was connected to the bed. Let me see if I can pull this, find something up on this. What was the Wichita, Kansas story where the person was melded to the toilet seat? Let's see what comes up. Yeah. She was sitting on the toilet seat of her boyfriend's bathroom for approximately 2 years.
What?
The incident came to light when her boyfriend, Corey McFarren, called authorities in February of 08, stating that something was wrong with his girlfriend. He noticed this after 2 years that she never came out of the bathroom. Talking two Christmases had passed, and she's still in the bathroom. When police arrived, they found the woman stuck to the toilet seat. Her skin had grown around the seat due to prolonged
sitting. 2 years?
Yes, 2 years. I don't know how you even survived that. I would think like you would have a blood clot or something would have happened by that point. Yeah.
How is she eating?
Apparently better or something. Emergency responders had to remove the toilet seat from the toilet and transport the woman to the hospital with the seat still attached. Doctors at the hospital surgically removed the seat from her body. The woman was treated for sores and other health injuries or issues resulting from the prolonged immobility. The boyfriend claimed that he had been bringing food and water to his girlfriend and tried to get her to leave the bathroom multiple times. McFarren later was charged with mistreatment of a dependent adult. He pleaded no contest, received a 6-month probation sentence. The woman's mental health and physical issues were cited as a contributing factor to the incident. What happened to her? I'm going to ask that.
I mean, if I'm ever in the bathroom for more than like 20 minutes, there's a knock on the door. Hey, you doing all right in there? You know, everything coming out okay? I mean,
yeah.
Holy shit. So this was in Kansas.
Yeah, I remember this happening in Wichita. It was one of those towns where you hear the stories and you're like, what the fuck is this? And you just couldn't believe it half the time. It was always really fucking weird. Like, I mean, BTK is from there, but the moment I got there, I went to go get a washer and dryer at Best Buy and I told them where to deliver it in my apartment. It was a nice apartment complex. It was like probably one of the nicest apartments I've ever had. Had a fireplace. It was new. It was kind of a bigger, you know, complex, but it was cool. And the first thing the people at Best Buy say to me is, did they ever find the head?
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
The head?
The head. And I'm thinking they're like joking or something. Like, what? this must be Wichita humor. No. They're like, oh yeah, well, that woman was decapitated, and they think they threw the head in the lake. And there's no lakes around Wichita, but there's a lot of ponds. And there was this lovely little walking pond that I had just started enjoying perusing at night. After I got done with work, I'd go for a walk. I'd listen to some Michael Bublé and just feel like the world was my oyster at 26. Walking around and like, oh, this is good. I'm in a new place. I feel good. And then the thought of there's a fucking head in the middle of this lake comes into play.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't think they ever found the head. But it was a domestic incident. It was someone who was cleaning, like a cleaning lady for an apartment. Apparently had some sort of dispute with her boyfriend. The boyfriend shows up. He knows where she's working. Decapitates her. The body's left in the apartment. And the head is never to be seen again.
Oh.
Now, there's a lot of units. There's a lot of buildings. I looked it up. This is like right around Google infancy days, but I found it and I'm like, thank God it's not my building. But it kind of, you know, it put a little damper on, you know, as you're walking around the apartment complex, you're like, the summer wind.
Want to listen ad free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.